What I'm going to invite you to do is open your Bibles along with the back of the devotional, and you would open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians. I am certain the Holy Spirit has something really good for you today, and I'm certain there's someone, maybe more than one, that need to hear this message today. Start out with, at the top of your devotional there, a clear conscience. Everybody there? There's Bibles in the back of the pew if you don't have one. I prefer the translation. For this, Paul says, for this is our confidence, the testimony of our conscience, is that we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you, with God-given sincerity and purity, not by fleshly wisdom, but by God's grace. There is so much there. And that is the entirety, that what is held there in that verse is the message the Holy Spirit wants to get across to us today. Let me ask you something, and we'll just keep it casual today. I've done a lot of study on the historical Jesus versus the Jesus of faith. Do you know what I mean by that distinction? Well, the historical Jesus was a particular man of a particular height with particular color of hair that weighed so many pounds that walked on this earth and talked to people and interacted. That's the historical Jesus. And a question that I ask myself when I read the gospel narratives and I read Paul's writings, what was it about Jesus, the historical Jesus, the man, what was it about him that attracted people? What was it about him that drew people into his life? And I looked through the scriptures, and I thought, well, who would know best about this but arguably his best friend? Who do you think Jesus' best friend was? Do you ever think of that? I love to put Jesus in that category and in that world, to think that he had buddies and best friends just like we do. Jesus was about Tori's age when he started his ministry. Get around that. I think Jesus' best friend, with all of his foibles, was Peter. I think Jesus really appreciated Peter for all of the ambiguities in his life. So I looked at Peter's epistles. Peter wrote two letters. And Peter says in there, if anybody would know, it'd be him. He says, you know, in his second epistle, he says, when Peter is pressed to find out what it was about Jesus, I can imagine someone saying to Peter, Peter, what was it about Jesus that drew you? And Peter says, I'll tell you, it was his glory and goodness, he says in the second epistle. He doesn't say it was what he said. He doesn't say it was the things that he did, although certainly those played into it. But he comes down and puts it into very simple language. He says, it was his glory and goodness that drew us to him. What do you think you're supposed to do as a man or woman of God? You know, so often, I think, and maybe you do too, that you are called upon to do something spiritually profound, or to say something spiritually profound. Our boast is this. The testimony of our conscience is clear because we have conducted ourselves in the world. Now, that's our issue today. How do you and how do I conduct myself in the world? Would people be drawn to God through my life or through yours? Well, it's all about how you conduct yourself. And what Paul says here is he conducted himself in the world, and especially toward you, with, let's look at that. And this maybe you want to, if you circle things like I do, you want to circle that on the devotional. He conducted himself in the world with God-given sincerity. And that was pure. The God-given sincerity that Peter used to conduct himself in the world was not combined with any fleshly wisdom. It was all God's sincerity. It was purely that. It was nothing else. Peter added nothing. His fleshly wisdom added nothing. And how did he do that? Simply by God's grace. Look, we need to let go of results. Can you do that? Can you live there with me? Can you let go of results in the pressure that you put on yourself and that I put on myself to do something dramatic so that I say I've had a ministry? When instead of that, see, that's fleshly wisdom. Letting go of results is so difficult. And just letting the pure, graceful sincerity of God flow through us. Can you tell when you're talking to somebody and they're insincere? Absolutely can. Okay, I'm not making this clear. It's the daily minutiae of our lives that counts. That's where it's at. It's the daily grind. It's the coming and goings. And if you remain, and if I remain, an image-bearing sentinel, we have the privilege and the responsibility that God uses the daily minutiae of our lives to draw other people to himself. And that's where the enemy attacks. And I know I'm speaking to someone today. Isn't that what gets you down? Because you start to think, I have no value to God. I'm not really doing anything. I'm not preaching. I'm not a missionary. I'm not working in a church setting. I didn't go to seminary. Therefore, I'm just stuck with the daily minutiae of my life, and it becomes such a mundane drag and a grind, doesn't it? If you think about it that way. But what we've learned in our study in the last few months, it has really been profoundly impactful to me. It's those times. It's what I do every day. It's how I speak to people every day. It's how, like Paul says, how I conduct myself in the world that God uses to draw people to himself. You know what the enemy wants to do to me? Maybe you. He wants me to think of my life and the details of my life three ways: meaningless, superficial, and insignificant. If you don't think it matters how you conduct yourself day by day, that's exactly what the enemy wants you to think. Because in that case, in that case, if the enemy gets you there, it is meaningless, it is superficial, and it is insignificant. But when you are one-on-one talking to a person, and I mean any person, anywhere, any day, I'm talking about the grocery store clerk. I'm talking about being at the gas station. I'm talking about just giving someone a friendly word or a smile. We have no idea the impact that that can have on people, and we have to stop trying to figure that out. God takes those things, and he gives them meaning, he gives them depth, and he gives